Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Wow, what a day we're having here at Bob Enyart Live. We've had debates with atheists this week, and tomorrow night I'm getting to debate this Reginald Finley, the, what does he call himself? The infidel guy, infidelguy.com. He's been on ABC as an atheist, and wow, we had a two-hour debate with him. It was intense, and we'll air some of that on Monday and Tuesday this coming week. But even more exciting right now is that I have Biff Gore in studio. Biff, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
So great. Have you been on this show? We've been friends for a long time.
I've never personally been on the show. I may have called in once.
Yeah, but you haven't been in the studio. Biff is a black minister here in Denver, Colorado. And a long time ago, we talked about a website, blackgenocide.org, which is extraordinary. But Biff, could you tell me and the audience, why are you on this show right now? What are you doing here, Biff?
Well, I'm here today because I want to talk about something that's really, really, really important, and that is the fact that babies are being murdered by the millions in our country, more specifically in the black community. It's a genocide that has never been addressed really on a major scale. I'm sure others have talked about it, but
right. As far as black leaders, black churches, this is a genocide that has been ignored.
Exactly. And I think for the most part, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 kind of sums it up. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And in my personal community, this whole issue of abortion has been thought of more as a human rights issue, not from the sense that we don't need to protect the unborn, but more from the sense that it's my right. Mm-hmm. And because African Americans or black people have been disenfranchised, a lot of the churches don't deal with it because it does seem like it's an infringement on personal rights.
Well, that's what the argument is, and so that's how it comes across. And so the black pastor in the pulpit doesn't address this issue.
Exactly.
It's not addressed. In fact, Bishop Porter is an acquaintance of mine. He's been involved in the pro-life battle for years. I think he's been the head of, or he founded, the Black Ministerial Alliance here in Denver, and he is strongly pro-life. And Reverend Childress from New Jersey, you know about Reverend Childress?
I know of him.
Yeah, he came out here to Denver, a powerful speaker, and he spoke to the Ministerial Alliance and came out, and we actually sort of debriefed with him when he left, and we went out to fellowship, and he was discouraged because he said, it's my sense most of these pastors are pro-choice.
Yeah, unfortunately, they'll tell you that they're pro-life, but the sense from the community is that they're pro-choice, or that they're just really not just kind of passive about the whole situation. And it's really sad. I mean, when you think about it, since 1973, with the passage of Roe versus Wade, the conservative estimates is that there's been 16 million deaths. That's a whole generation of great people who could have contributed, people who could be pastors and ministers and people in our community that could have contributed to our society. I mean, I look at the...
You're talking about 16 million deaths just of children who are black.
Just of children who are black.
That is devastating.
It's absolutely devastating. What is?
I'm not up on the latest stats, but I think it's about 30 million blacks in America.
30 million blacks in America.
So that... Really, of all the blacks in America who've been alive in the last couple decades, one out of three have been killed by an abortionist.
Exactly.
And the greatest percentage of those are by Planned Parenthood abortionists.
Yes. And those numbers are going to increase because now you have the morning after pill, and there's no tracking of that. I mean, you can't get the data from any of the pharmacies of how many of those pills they've distributed in any community.
Chemical abortifacient. It's like a human pesticide.
Exactly. And the wrath of God is going to rain down on this epidemic, and it really breaks your heart because you almost feel like John the Baptist crying out in the wilderness. This is genocide. If this happened in Nazi Germany,
there'd be an outcry, but there is no outcry.
There is none.
We've become used to it.
Yes.
You know, and Biff, here at Bob and Your Live, we've been doing the show for 15 years, and I get sick of talking about this topic, but I can't allow myself to look away while innocent children are being killed. And you know what? It'll hurt the amount of money we take in. It'll hurt our audience. But when I stand before God, you know, Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And the Bible says, don't stand back. When people are being drawn toward the slaughter, God put in the book of Proverbs, don't stand back and let them die. And so we got to do what we can to let people know that innocent children are being killed. We need to be outraged, and we need to be wise, and we need to fight against it.
I agree with you. I was so disheartened at the March for Life this past year. Mm. This was actually my first year participating in the March for Life. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed, first of all, because the body of Christ will not stand and be counted. Mm. I believe there's enough of us in this country that if we stood and were counted, abortion would go away tomorrow. Mm. It would. And you would think that.
If one megachurch said, let's go to the Colorado Right to Life March for Life at the Capitol on Saturday, one megachurch could have increased the numbers tenfold, 20-fold.
Exactly.
And we have many megachurches, and we have hundreds of good-sized churches and probably 1,000 small churches in Colorado. And, you know, Denver Bible Church, we only have 100 people in our whole church, and we might have been the most well-represented church there.
I believe so. I would love to see the body of Christ stand and be counted. If we were able to do that, Bob, we could pack that whole Civic Center park out, and people then could say, the body of Christ cares about issues that are so near and dear to God's heart. Mm. Thou shalt not murder. And we just need to stop being so selfish and thinking about, oh, this is my Saturday. I'm giving my Saturday up so I can go stand in the cold and listen to an evangelical preacher talk about these issues. But these issues really are near and dear to God's heart, and they should be near and dear to every Christian's heart. I mean,
I listened to Gino Geraci. That talk that he gave, he's the pastor of Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel, that's a different denomination. You know, I pastored Denver Bible Church. But that talk he gave was so powerful.
Yes.
It was riveting. And you talk about being near to the heart of God. And he was firing on all cylinders.
Yes.
He was extraordinary. And I wish 10,000 Christians had heard what he had to share from God's word and from God's heart on the obligation of Christians who know right from wrong. Because when we keep silent, then God holds us accountable for our neighbor's blood.
Yeah.
Because we're the ones who know. We have to warn them that they are destroying themselves and bringing judgment on themselves.
And we are agreeing with our society. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to be like salmon, to swim against the tide, to swim against the flow of the water, to go and reach as many people as we can. Mm. And if we're not even willing to share the love of Christ and to witness to people, we really do need a wake-up call. It was wonderful how he put it in terms of slavery. The whole abortion issue is about slavery. It's an enslavement mentality when you say that someone else is less a human than you are. Mm. And we see the ravages of that even with how we treat our elderly, how we treat our women and the unborn. As I think about how am I going to be an impact in my own community, I saw Focus on the Strategy, and what a wonderful piece that was, because it begins to shape your mind in terms of we don't need to be moral relativist. Mm. We need to be thinking as what does God say in terms of us not compromising at all.
Not compromising on his enduring principles.
Exactly.
We could compromise on what color we're going to put the paint the walls. We could compromise on what we're going to have for, you know, appetizers. But you don't compromise on do not murder.
That's right.
Do not kill the innocent. If Christian leaders are willing to compromise on do not murder, then where will they not compromise?
Exactly.
Where will they not? And, you know, we have pastors who say, don't judge and you got to forgive everybody. And they say that until somebody takes money out of the collection plate instead of putting it in. Right. You know, the collection plate goes by, somebody grabs a 20, takes it out. All of a sudden, the elders and the pastor, they're great at judging until that money goes back in the collection plate. But when it comes to killing the innocent, when it comes to child pornography, when it comes to the things that utterly destroy lives, then they say, hey, you don't judge. You forgive everyone. It's like it's no skin off my back.
Right. So I thought about the passionate plea that you made in Focus on the Strategy, and I thought, Lord, could you use me in that way? Could you use me in a powerful way to speak to a people group that I represent? You know, I am for the Lord. So just like the angel of the Lord when he stood before Joshua said, whose side are you on? He says, I'm on the side of the Lord. I want to be on the side of the Lord.
Yeah.
But sometimes people will listen to me probably more than they would listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely.
Because I look like them.
Yeah.
And
so you and I are working together to craft a tailored version of Focus on the Strategy that you'll be able to present in local churches. And I'm just exhilarated about that, Biff Gore. I really am. You don't know this, but right before you got here, we taped an interview with Judy Brown, president of American Life League. And I did not know when we started this interview that she had watched Focus on the Strategy. And so it was exciting to hear from her. In fact, we transcribed her quote, and this is what she said. She said, Focus on the Strategy is one of the most invaluable resources for anybody who wants to claim the label pro-life and work for the true end to abortion in America. Focus on the Strategy is all about doing right and risking the consequences. Judy Brown, American Life League. And that's exciting to me because she's a stalwart of the pro-life movement. She's a hero in this culture war. And so, you know, we're a little voice. You're a little voice. There's 1,000 little voices that are saying enough. We have to stop compromising on God's enduring command. Do not murder. Will you be at the Capitol on April 25th?
Lord willing, I will be there. Mm-hmm. That is my plan. My family's going to be there. And I'm beginning to invite other people who represent the community that I live in to come and be a part of this.
That's going to be powerful. Dr. Alan Keyes will be there, former UN ambassador. And Alan Keyes is a powerful speaker. He's one of the most eloquent orators in the nation. Judy Brown will be there. Brian Rohrbaugh, president of Colorado Right to Life, will be leading a panel discussion on basically the strategy for stopping the killing. Let's not just continue our movement for another 40 years. Yeah. Let's stop the killing. That is going to be exciting. And so, and we're going to give a sequel, an update to Focus on the Strategy 2 at that event. That'll be exciting also.
That's incredible. Lord, can I say one thing, Bob? Yeah. One of the things that really moved me, the Lord softens our hearts because, you know, you talk to other Christians and they say, you start talking to them about abortion. And you say, hey, we need to go out as a church and pray at the clinic down on 20th and Vine. And they say, well, you know what? That's just not my calling. Mm. And I really find that to be hard. That's a hard thing to kind of digest because God has called us to stand up for those who have no voices. Mm. And it's everyone in the body of Christ. It's everyone's job to do that on some level.
At some level. That's a good point. Not everybody can be a Joe Scott or a Ken Scott.
Exactly.
They're extraordinary Christian pro-life leaders. But God has given anybody a get-out-of-concern-free card where you could be apathetic when innocent children are being killed in your community. This issue, we mentioned this website, blackgenocide.org. How is it that the abortion industry has been racist. Do you have some idea how that works?
Oh, definitely. If you look at all the Planned Parenthood offices, you'll probably never find one near a suburban school, but you see them all over schools that have minority populations.
In other words, they're overwhelmingly located in minority neighborhoods.
Exactly.
Near minority high schools and colleges. And there are some in white neighborhoods, but overwhelmingly they're in minority neighborhoods. How about Margaret Sanger? She's the founder, and for decades she was the president of Planned Parenthood.
She's probably the biggest. She's probably one of the biggest racists in this country, and she did it in such a provocative way that people don't even know some of the mm-hmm. comments or the statements that she made. Mm-hmm. She said the goal was to exterminate the Negro race in sort of her manifesto, her business plan, and she even had such top-notch leaders as Dr. Martin Luther King craft a speech supporting Planned Parenthood.
Even though, Jesse Jackson, for example, was against abortion, and then he got involved in Democratic Party politics, and then he's pro-choice all of a sudden, pro-abortion. Margaret Sanger, she had something called the Negro Project. And the phrase you just referred to, she wrote a letter to one of her advisors saying, "We don't want the word to go out that we're trying to exterminate the Negro population." So there's a debate about exactly what she meant by that. But there is no debate that she wanted to do everything she could to reduce the black population. She wrote two books, Woman in the New Race and Pivot of Civilization. And in these books, you could get them at the Denver Public Library. She also wrote about the handicapped. She said the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the mute, and the lame are the dead weight of human waste. And she complained that a dollar would be spent to alleviate their suffering because they're the dead weight of human waste. She was into eugenics, and she had a relationship with a Nazi eugenics scientist and commissioned him to write for Planned Parenthood's newsletter, The Birth Control Review. So she was a pretty wicked woman, and Planned Parenthood to this day, they celebrate her and they give an award in her name, the Margaret Sanger Award.
That's pretty tragic. Mm. I think about during the civil rights movement, there was a young man named Emmett Till.
Emmett Till.
And he
Chicago
was,
area?
That's
Chicago,
right.
Chicago, yeah.
And he went down to visit his family in the Deep South.
Right.
And he was whistling, and a white woman thought that he was whistling at her.
Right.
And the men came, and they murdered him in the middle of the
night.
They
murdered him, and they beat him to a pulp.
That's right. Time magazine went to the mother and said, "Would you allow us to take pictures of your son so that America can see?"
And because she was so bold and courageous, she had an open casket wake.
Funeral. That's right.
And that was unheard of because he was beat beyond recognition.
Yeah.
And what happened with those photos?
They were published all over the United States.
Yeah.
And they opened the casket on the ugliness of racism.
Absolutely.
And that's what
ignited the civil rights movement and equality treatment based on the color of your skin. You don't mistreat people.
Exactly.
Right. And she was heroic, that mom. And this is what pro-lifers are trying to do, showing people the face of the child killer.
Yes.
Let's go to Denver, Colorado. We'll take a call. Robert, you're on with Biff Gore and Bob Enyart.
Hello.
Hello, Robert. Go right ahead.
You've left this topic that you touched on earlier.
Go ahead.
And that was about, why so few people showed up for the march there.
Right. And I've been going to that march for, 10, 15 years. And it's always discouraged me that there's such a small turnout.
But, I got to tell you, that as just an observer of going around to a lot of churches, most churches on a Sunday morning service will not even attempt to touch on this subject. You might hear it on the Sunday evening a little bit. You might hear it on a Wednesday. But generally, during the Sunday morning service, it will not be addressed at all. And that leads me into my next question. Now, like Gino Geraci, whose church I've gone to, I just wonder how many people from his church were actually there.
Well, hey, Robert, I don't know, and that's a good question.
And Gino, not only that, but
Gino should have promoted it aggressively at his church. I don't know if he did.
Not only that, since we know there's several Calvary chapels around the neighborhood, I wonder, did he also give them a invite, or was he able to at those churches?
I think I'm the one who informed Pastor Ed Taylor of Aurora Calvary Chapel that Gino even had spoke at the March for Life, and that was on the air on another radio station. What's that station? Carcass? KRKS. And I don't think he even knew that Gino was the keynote speaker. So, Robert, you know what happens when churches are determined that one of their number one goals is church growth? When that becomes a number one priority, then it affects its self-censoring, and the pastors will not talk about the things with the same kind of force and passion that they might otherwise talk about when you find God's heart in the scriptures of what God is passionate about. If there's something God is passionate about, but you might lose some of your attendees, then you could just skip that topic and talk about tithing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're right on topic, because I was going to mention, you know, the floodgates were opened on the Rick Warren book, and everybody and their brother seemed like they were going through his book.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, and it got wide.
That's the purpose-driven life and all the purpose-driven purposes and all that.
Exactly.
And, you know, we object. We object at Denver Bible Church. Yep. Biff, you could weigh in on this. But we object to Rick Warren's belief that God micromanages and that God wants abortion to be legal and he wants homosexual marriage in Massachusetts, that this is all God orchestrating all this. We say, no, there's a war, good versus evil, and God is not on the side of evil. He's on the side of good. He doesn't play both sides.
And when you water down the gospel, you're already in trouble. Mm. If you take the penalty of violating God's moral law out of the equation, or you strip it down so that there's no reason why you would even come to Christ, you just have a book that belongs in the New York
Times
bestseller list.
Don't judge. You got to forgive everyone, and so God forgives everyone because He's like the common Christian in the street who says, I can't judge and I forgive everyone because I represent God. All right. Hey, Robert, thank you so very much.
Okay. Bye.
Really appreciate that call. And now let's go to Illinois, Chicago. Timothy, you're on with Biff Gore and Bob Enyart.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing great, sir.
Hey, I'm familiar with your guest. I wanted to comment on a case that was just filed here in Chicago, in Naperville. A girl filed a suit in U.S. District Court because her school made her remove her shirt that said, be happy, not gay.
Be happy, not gay. That is so funny. That
she
has
wore it
to
a
do
day
with...
after.
Yeah.
She wore it a day after the school actually sponsored an event.
The Day of Silence.
Day of Silence. You might have read about it. Not only is the fact that they made her remove her shirt disturbing, but couldn't she have just refused to speak to them at all? Because that was the whole thing. You could refuse to any faculty or staff during that day in commemoration of the.
The Day of Silence, that's a pro-homosexual event.
Right, right.
And the public schools are obsessed with promoting homosexuality. Just absolutely obsessed. And also with bringing young girls to abortion clinics during school hours when the parents think the daughter is in school.
Oh, yeah.
And on top of that, they're not going to tell the kids that it's wrong to have sex. They're just going to tell them, don't have sex until you're ready. And that's why tens of thousands of 14-year-old girls decide they're ready.
Exactly.
And you send your daughter to a public school and they're... She's going to really have it thrown at her. She's going to be sexually harassed and used, most likely, in that school.
Yeah, and people never talk about how the rate of sexual harassment in public school. They want to point out that the church is the, you know, that we have people hiding behind the cloth, but they don't talk about the 3,000 incidences of sexual harassment every day in public schools.
You know, I haven't heard that statistic, but that has got to be in the ballpark because it is everywhere. Hey, Timothy, thank you very much for bringing this to our attention.
You bet.
Okay, may God bless you. And let's go now to, we got a call from one of the board members of Colorado Right to Life. Biff Gore, I think you know Lolita Hanks.
Yeah, I know Lolita.
All right, Lolita, you're on with Biff Gore and Bob Enyart.
Hey, Biff and Bob.
Hey,
Biff,
Lolita.
The Biff and Bob Show.
That sounds great.
That does. Biff gets top billing. The Biff and Bob Show, the Bob and Biff. I don't know which way sounds funnier, but we got something here, Biff.
That's right. I'm still not gluten-free, Lolita.
Yeah.
We're grateful to have Biff come help us. And I wanted to clarify, about 75% of the clinics in the minority neighborhoods are the ones that do abortion. The suburban Planned Parenthood clinics don't do abortion.
Well,
they're the feeders into those other clinics.
They are the feeders. That's a good point. Typically, where they kill the kids is in the minority community at the abortion mill. And
that's
then they
right.
have these a ring of feeder clinics that are just referring into that central killing place.
Right. And the other thing is me and Susan Sutherland, who's also on the board, we went before our last banquet to churches.
Yeah.
Just asking them to participate in the banquet, not go out in front of the clinic or anything scary like that.
Yeah.
And we've come up with a term called the rigor syndrome, because as soon as we say we're from Colorado Right to Life, they get stiff.
The rigor syndrome. Now, you wouldn't be a nurse.
The RS factor, but we've had people not want to let us even in the door of the church.
Right. Now, some churches are pro-abortion, but you're talking...
Yeah, so we didn't even go to those. We went to ones that we were pretty sure were very conservative.
Right.
They will not deal with the issue. We even went to that Scum of the Earth church. You know,
the Hawks,
all that stuff. We thought, you know, they're alternative.
Yeah.
They'll be at least open to the message.
Yeah,
well,
and you're
used the term death squirts, and that was it. They don't have anything to do with us.
And you're not making fun of them. That's the name of their church, Scum of the Earth Church.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. So, hey, Biff.
So even they weren't tolerant of our message.
No, Biff Gore, we have our work cut out for us.
We do. The battle is going to be long, but you know what? It's one that's worth fighting, because obedience is better than sacrifice.
Wow. And, you know, so many, when you fight the battle, a few things happen. Some kids are saved from being killed.
Yes.
You have eternal gratitude very often from a child and a mother and the family. Some souls are saved because as you tell people it's wrong to kill the innocent, they say, why? And you say, because God said so. And you end up talking about God and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And our sin and forgiveness. And then there's the honor that comes from humbling yourself before God and putting others before yourself. And God will bless us for doing what we can, even though we can't stop the genocide, we can do something. Hey, thank you, Lolita.
Bye.
May God bless you.
Thanks for having me on your show, Bob.
Biff Gore, what an honor. Let's keep working together like we've been, all right?
Amen.
This is exciting for me. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. Our website is kgov.com. And April 12th in Colorado Springs. Wow, that's going to be great. Focus on the strategy, too.